Give her a minute to get that.
Oh, okay.
You ready?
Somebody, I didn't send it to me, but it was on Facebook. And Mark Barkley is the pastor. And he had a granddaughter, has a granddaughter, a little girl. And she was in the pool, and her hair was real long, and that pool sucked her under. And so the kids were saying, hey, you know.
Well, it was like there's a, where it recycles the water, and there's a big pump. And, you know, it sucked water out.
It got her hair in there.
Her hair got in there, and it pinned her underwater.
And so anyway, the kids went crying to the father and said, hey, whatever her name was, is under the water, and she's not moving. She, you know, she's turning blue. And so they ran over and got her. The guy pulled her hair and pulled her head out of the water. They called 911. She was blue. She was already gone. And he said his son-in-law, the little girl's dad, said, this is what he said, devil, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You're not going to steal my child. I'm a tither. And he said it out of his spirit. And that girl jumped right up. She was dead 5 minutes or 6 minutes. He said, I'm a tither. I have a right to all that the word says. And the little girl got up and she said, turn off the electricity. That's all.
Turn off the electricity.
That's what she said.
But anyway, the girl, make it long story short, the little girl got underwater, swimming underwater. There's some kind of a vent thing where the water goes through or sucked through there from a powerful pump. Her hair went in. She got pinned underwater, drowned. They finally got her out. She was already dead, laying on the ground. And, you know, it just rose up inside this guy. Hey, you know, you can't do this to me. I'm a tither in Jesus' name. And boom, the little girl just pops up, comes alive. You know, so I don't know.
She didn't even know what happened to her.
She didn't even know what happened to her. She's perfectly healthy. You know, no brain damage, nothing. I mean, you know,
they
so.
Had, they had the emergency police and
Ambulance, police, everything was coming, you know.
About
6 years old. So, hey man, you know, you're children of the King.
Yeah.
You need to know that, amen?
Amen?
The children of the King, and you need to know the word and how to call on the name of Jesus, amen, and demand your rights and take authority over that devil.
Amen.
Well, this morning I'm going to talk about why we should trust God.
Yeah.
Amen? Well, you know, when you stop and think about that, you know, we always hear, we should trust God, right? Well, we should, but, you know, there's kind of more to it than that. We need to know, you know, if you're going to trust somebody, you want to know something about them, right? It's, a lot of it will probably come from personal, how your relationship, have they been faithful over the years, and is their word good, what kind of a person they are, right? If you're really going to trust them, you know, are they really a good friend who you've been able to trust over time and it never lets you down? They've kept their word, okay, and things like that, right? Well, the Bible, rather than just blindly trusting God, which sometimes I do, we have to, but the Bible is full of scriptures that reveal God's nature and his integrity, okay? And we can look at how God, what he has done, how he has stood by people, how he has saved people, how he's delivered them out of things. We can just see the whole nature of God. Amen? And that gives more depth to your faith in him and trusting him. Amen? When you see what he's done over the you know, since time began. Amen? And the more you know about God and his nature and his integrity, that he is absolutely a faithful, good God. Amen? And he has to have, he has your best interests in mind all the time. Okay? It's easier to trust him. Amen? You know, it's like a little child trusting daddy and mommy, right? They've always looked out for the best interest of the little child, always protected them, always had clothes, made sure they clothed, good food to eat. Amen? And you just trust mommy and daddy. Amen? And so we need to look at scriptures and see why it is that we trust God, or why we should, in case there's any doubt, you know, or hesitation there about trusting God in our lives. See, a lot of us just don't trust God like we should. We say so, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, you know, do we really trust Him? Okay. There was something I had written here way back in the back that I wanted to say. Well, I guess we'll get to it later. Well, okay. One, we should trust God, first of all, because He is a good God. Amen? And really, everything He does is good. Okay? Turn to Genesis 1:1. We'll start right in the book of beginnings. Really, everything God does is for our own, for our good. Amen? Now, you may not understand it at the time, but everything He does is he's got your best interests at heart. He does it because He loves you. Amen? And we need to understand that and know that. Now, Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Okay? Now, we know that. And it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." It's an interesting thing. He didn't create the sun and the moon until many days later, but He created light, okay? You hear that now? He created light. We think, you know, the sun and the moon is light, right? He created light before He ever created the sun and the moon. It's interesting. You could go for a long ways just studying that, right? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4, God saw that the light was what, bad? No, the light was good, wasn't it? And He separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry land, the dry ground land, and gathered the waters. He called seas and gathered waters. He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Right? That was says good. Everything He was doing so far was good, wasn't it? I love to see the ocean. I love to see the waves. Amen. I love to see the mountains and streams, the trees, and all the beauty of the earth. And then verse 11 says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, right? Here it was. It was good again. Praise the Lord. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. Boy, there's so much in this. You know, the sign, see, the moon and the sun is not just for daytime and nighttime, but they're also for signs. That's what's all this blood moons and everything is about. These are signs in the heavens. You know, if you've heard, have you ever heard that expression, blood moons? We have gone through, what, three? We got one more to go. And this is a one in a million deal that's happening that we're going through right now. And so things may be happening. Verse 14, and God said there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So it's creation all along. It's good, isn't it? It's good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. So apparently he created the moon and the sun and all the stars and stuff on the fourth day. And God said, verse 20, let the water teem with living creatures. And let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea. And every living and moving thing with which water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Amen? Good. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Right? R, that word R is plural, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. In our likeness, because there's the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen? In our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock, over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Man was, when God created him, man is to rule over all the things of the earth. He made this earth for us. Amen? Is that a good thing? Man, that's a good thing, isn't it? And so, in verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, right? So he created man, okay? He created man as mankind, and he created them male and female, right? God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So he created, you know, the first ones, Adam and Eve, and he told them, you rule over everything, the birds, the fish, all the animals, everything. You're in charge. Amen. You rule over this planet. Wow. Isn't that something? This whole planet with all this stuff, and here's Adam and Eve. They're ruling over everything. Amen? And God's coming down in the cool of the day and talking and walking with Adam. Man, what a deal, huh? Boy, was that good? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good. Then, verse 29, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. When they created him, man did not eat meat. They were vegetarians, basically. They ate fruit, vegetables, seed-bearing plant-type stuff. It wasn't until after the flood, after Noah's flood, that man started eating meat. They were vegetarians up till then. And these animals had no fear of man in them. Okay, if when you read the story of Noah's Ark and everything, God put the fear of man in the animals at the same time he told humans that they could eat meat. Okay, makes sense, right? Put the fear of man in them, because if they're going to be eating you, at least they have a chance to run for it, right? Fear of man, right? So you're going to have to hunt for them. You know, they're just not going to. That might be explained why they could get them on the ark, you know, get these animals under, because up to that point, they weren't eating meat, and they weren't afraid. There was no fear of man. See, then verse 29, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. Verse 30, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. Lions weren't jumping on little bunny rabbits and eating them. Right? Animals were not killing animals. And nobody was killing other animals and eating, you know, the meat and the blood. Okay, everything was eating plants and whatever. Okay. Verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Amen? Very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Okay. So we can see from scriptures that those who trust in God, and that means to, what does it mean to trust in God? Well, we're going to read some more scripture here, but what does it mean to trust in God? Okay, it means to believe and obey God's word and laws. Okay, if you're trusting in God, you can't just say, oh, I trust in God, and that's good. Okay, when you say, I trust in God, that means I believe what he says, and I'm going to obey it. You understand what I'm saying? You can't just say, oh, I trust in God, and then go about and do whatever you want and ignore what he says. When you say, I believe in Jesus, he's my Lord and Savior, that means you believe what he says, and you're going to obey his teachings, right? You understand? That's what that means. See, Jesus is the Word of God come in the flesh. He's the living Word of God. So when you say, I love Jesus, or I'm following Jesus, or I trust Jesus, or I trust God, that means you believe the Scriptures and you're obeying them. You're following them. You're trusting in God. Amen? That's where all this faith stuff comes in, because in order to do that, man, you're going to have to walk in faith, right? Has Jesus come over to your house lately and sat down and had supper with you?
No.
Huh? No, he hasn't. Not me. So I have to have faith in an invisible God. I cannot see Jesus, right? But I trust in him. I have faith in him. Amen? How did, you know, I invited Jesus into my heart, and then after that, the whole Bible, everything just, boo! The lights went on, man. It's like my spirit became new and my eyes were open, and I began to read my Bible and learn things, and everything was true. Everything that I experienced was all true. It was all in the Bible, amen? And God began to really reveal himself, amen? As you read the scriptures and study the Bible and you fellowship with other Christians and come to church, God, and through the Holy Ghost, just starts revealing, you know, through the Word and the Spirit, amen? Through the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, God begins to reveal himself. And even if you don't do that, if you just look around at the world, at the mountains, the ocean, and all the creatures, how can there not be a God? Right? Don't tell me there was some explosion and slime crawled out of the swamp. Come on. You know, somebody said it takes more faith to believe that than it does in God. It's an absolute impossibility, and they proved, scientists have proved it. Mathematically impossible. This one thing I read and studied on said that if you had an explosion from an unknown source, because see, if there was nothing, where did the explosion come from? What created that explosion, right? So first of all, where did that come from? But if you have this explosion and all life starts from it from somehow, okay, they said it's like a tornado hitting a junkyard. And when the tornado leaves, there's a 747 sitting there. Okay? And I'm saying with all the wiring, all the hydraulics, every rivet perfect. You know, those engines are not made out of mud. They're made out of exotic alloys. I worked at Wachang and I worked at Armet. It takes a huge process, man, to produce this titanium and zirconium and other exotic metals. How did that all get made, you know, by this tornado, right? You know what I'm saying? All the electronics, the rubber wheels, the bearings. And this scientist says, you know, you could have this explosion happen, say, in this, you know, this, what the atheists believe or the evolutionaries believe or whatever. You could have this happen, say, every minute for a billion years. You would never have a 747 sitting there. Never. It's mathematically impossible. I was reading where, like, you know, people that are, we've been educated, right? But say like 10 to the 17th power and stuff, you know, is a huge number, right? Well, once you get to the like 10 to the whatever power, anything beyond that becomes into the realm of impossibility, okay? And this is way, way beyond the realm of possibility. From all the greatest minds, all the greatest computers that can try to figure and do anything, the fact that we're all sitting here and this world is here all like this, it's mathematically impossible that could be chance, is what I'm saying. Chance? You cannot have a tornado. If you have a tornado hit a junkyard every minute for a billion years, you would never, ever, when it left, you would never have a 747 sitting there. Ever. It's beyond the realm of possibility. Okay? You see what I'm saying? That's why it's called, you know, evolution is taught in our schools as like fact. That's what our kids grow up on. But it's a theory. It's still the theory of evolution. And it's way beyond the realm of possibility. And so there is a God. Amen? And if you read like the first chapter of Romans, it talks about it, about how people should just, from the created things, they should know there's a God. Amen? In your heart, you should know there's a God. That somehow, this isn't just a chance thing. It's not a chance thing that you're alive. Because the Bible says God is the Father of spirits. He is the Father of spirits. You're a spirit. You aren't just an accident. He knew about you before you were ever born. Amen? Don't let somebody tell you you're nothing or you're just an accident. You were, God knew your name before you was ever born, before you were ever conceived. See? You are important. You are part of God's creation. Amen? So, you have to understand and proceed on the basis that God is a good God. Amen? We saw that he didn't create a slum, right? With cockroaches and disease in it and put you in it, did he? See, I grew up in St. Louis. There was housing projects, these big cities. She lived in one. We call them the cockroach apartments. They were huge. I mean, they were, 14 stories tall, these huge buildings. There was many of them, not just one. And that was called the Cochrane apartments, but they ended up calling it the cockroach apartments. There was Pruitt-Igoe housing project. And it ended up, when she lived in there, you know, it was brand new. And you know, people were just, oh, right, you know, because it was cheap housing. And then it all went bad over a period of time. It just became like, I'm not prejudiced against black people, but it became all black. And it just, everything was torn to shreds. It was a no man's zone. The cops show up and they were like, throw a bathtub off the 14th floor to try to kill a cop or something. I mean, it was just, you don't live in that because you live out here in Oregon in these smaller towns. I'm telling you, what happens in these big cities is beyond what you can imagine. And it all went bad. They ended up raising them all down, blowing them up or bulldozing them down, all these places, you know. But they were housing. God didn't make something like that and put you in it, did it? He put you in a wonderful, sparkling, beautiful planet that he created just for you. With water and fish and oceans and trees and fruit. I mean, Adam and Eve walk around just, they went hungry? Pluck a big fruit off the tree, you know, and just eat it, and they were satisfied. Amen? I guess they were naked, but they didn't freeze or get hot or nothing. They were just, they didn't know they was naked because they were totally innocent. Yet all, everything went bad after they sinned. That changed things. Amen? Unfortunately, but there's nothing we can do about it, right? Here we are, so what are we going to do? You could say, well, it's not fair, right? Man, there's nothing about life that's fair, right? How many knows that? Nothing about life that's fair. So here we are. What are we going to do about it? It's up to us. We've been put here. with the possibility of either dying and going to hell for eternity or going to heaven for eternity, right? You can say, well, that's not fair. I didn't ask to be here. Well, like I said, nothing's fair about it. Here you are. What are we going to do about it, right? But God has offered us a way out of this mess, right? It's Jesus, the free gift, man. All we have to do is believe on Jesus, and we can be saved from this mess, see? Amen? Praise God. So why would any sane person refuse Jesus, you know? So it's up to us. It's our decision, right? God loves us, and he has made a way for us. Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life, right? He's made a way. So we got to understand that God's good God, and he wants to do good things in our life. Amen? He wants to do good things in your life. All you got to really do is cooperate with the Lord. Just cooperate with him. Just believe what he says and agree with it and proceed on that basis. That's all you got to really do. But see, that sin got in there, and now people got this rebellious hearts. They want to rebel against God. Don't you tell me what to do. How many times have you heard somebody say that? That's kind of the way man's fallen spirit is. You know, they just naturally go against what God tells them. You tell your kids, don't you get in that cookie jar now. We just made those cookies. You stay out of there. What do you think is going to happen as soon as you walk out of the room? Little Johnny or Doug Sr. out there, he's going to be in that cookie jar, right? Sometimes big people do that too, right? We just got that natural rebellion nature, you know. And the only way you can't deal with it, there's nothing you can do about it yourself, because you have to be, your spirit man has to be changed, right? You can't change your spirit. You know, you can't change your spirit. Only God can do that. You see? And that's the whole thing. That's the secret of everything. Your spirit man, because it has this fallen sin nature. And you cannot do anything about that. You cannot change your spirit. It has to be made new, right? And you've got to have this new spirit in you that doesn't have that sin nature. And that's what happens when you receive Jesus, your Savior. He does this giant miracle, and he takes away that old dead spirit of yours with that sin nature, and he puts a new spirit in you that has the life and nature of God in it. Now you're not bound to sin. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You can follow the Lord. Amen? Turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And so we're going to jump forward in time from Genesis, okay? And we just talked about the creation, but we know about Adam and Eve and the fall and how sin got in. You know, Adam and Eve, we know this. Adam and Eve would not have ever died had they not sinned, because there was no such thing as death on the earth. You say, well, how do you know that? How do you know they would have never died? Because, well, as I said, there's no such thing as sin, right? The Bible says death entered the world through sin, okay? That's how death got into this world, is because of sin. Well, sickness and disease is the first stages of death, really, right? So see, there was no such thing as death even in existence on this earth. So Adam and Eve never would have died. They would have gone on, you know. And it's because they sinned, death now came into the earth. And so, you know, all the angels and all the things that existed before in the spiritual realm, those are eternal beings. They do not die, okay? As far as I know, I don't read anything that says there was death before. There was no such thing. And from what I understand, your spirits are immortal. Your spirits do not die. When your body dies, your spirit continues to live. He made you eternal, really, your spirit and your soul. Okay, it's your body that's going to die. But when sin came, in a sense, you died to God. Okay, so that's a bad thing. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. Man, can it get any worse than that?
No.
Man. Look what it says. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become. Listen, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Everything was everything he thought and he did was evil all the time. Wow. I mean, boy, you talk about totally being corrupted and fallen, going bad. That's all they did was thought about and did was evil things. There was no good thing, really, left in the people. They were just wicked and fallen. Boy, did, you know, look at what it had come to from the first sin, Adam and Eve, how it just went through the people. So that shows you how powerful sin is. Don't think for 1 minute sin is nothing. The whole mess is because of sin. And people still are tempted by sin and still sin today. Look at the world. It's going down. You know, unless you're living under a rock, it's going down, man. Jesus said he ain't going to tell you the time of the day, but just look at the seasons. Look at the stuff. Well, you can see what's happening, and it is going bad, 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 boy. So, anyway, at this time, boy, they had gone bad, hadn't they? And verse 6, it says, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. God that did all this wonderful stuff because he loved us so much, and he built us, created this wonderful planet, was so good, it said God was grieved. He was grieved in this. It says, and his heart was filled with pain because of what had become of the people. How they just went evil, and that's all they thought about was evil. It says the inclination of their heart was evil all the time. Can you imagine the pain in God, in his heart? And he was grieved that he even made the earth, that he'd even done this. Because look what has happened. You know, well, who do you think is behind the whole thing? Well, it's the devil, it's Satan, right? How he came and deceived Adam and Eve. So he's in this great theater, this play that's going on, you know. Satan is one of the main characters that's brought all this to this point. It says, and so the Lord, verse 7, so the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, the men, the animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. Okay? I mean, he said, I'm just going to wipe this place out, man. I'm going to kill everybody, everything. Man, the birds, everything walking on the planet. I guess the fish would have lived, huh? Because they were in the water. But, thank God, Noah. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know how many people were alive at this time, but it was probably a lot. It could have been in the millions. I don't know. It said Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Okay? Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, thank God. Here's something to think about. If everybody else in the world is evil and bad, but you trust God and you walk with Him, what do you think is going to happen? You think God's going to destroy you with all the other wicked? Even say there's 6 billion people on this earth, and there's only one good person that loves Jesus, and He's going to wipe everybody out. You know what? He'll save you, right? That's the kind of God. He's not going to wipe you out with everybody else just because the earth. Everybody else is evil, right? If everybody in your neighborhood and everybody in your family and everybody in your workplace is an atheist and doesn't like God, you know, then so be it, right? They can go to their punishment and I'll go to my reward. Amen? You understand? That's basically the place where Noah was at, right? They used to come by and mock him, make fun of him. Yeah, he you know how long it took to build that boat, that ark? 120 years, I believe it was. Yeah, look at that crazy old guy. And mocked him, made fun of him. But he was determined to go with God, right? You don't just go with the flow. You know what I'm saying? You don't just go with the flow. You go with God. You go with the Lord Jesus Christ. If everybody else wants to go to hell, I don't want them to do it, but so be it. I'm not going with them. Right? What is your soul worth? What's your spirit worth? Well, Noah was not going to go with the flow. Wouldn't it just be easy just to go along with what everybody wants to do instead of being that guy that's just not going to go along with it, that you're different? You're going to trust God. I'm not going to go do the drugs, the booze, the pornography, or tell the dirty jokes. I'm not going to go with the world system, but I'm going to be different. I'm going to go with God, you know? Well, that's what Noah did, right? I'm not going with the flow of the whole world, with the flow, all the immorality and all the wickedness that was going on. Noah just said, I'm not doing it, man. My heart's after God, okay? See, God will, he will give you what you believe for. Everybody goes to judgment based on what they did. You're not going to get judged on what everybody else did. Right? It's what you do in this life. You trust God. If my wife, my kids, all my relatives want to go to hell and they refuse to trust God and believe him, so be it. You know, I still love them, but I'm not going to go to hell for them. I'm going to follow my God. Amen? I'm going to trust my God. I'm not going to spend eternity in hell for anybody. I'm going with my God. Amen? You know, I worked with a guy one time. He goes, and I tried to talk to him about the Lord and this and that. And he'd listen, you know, and he'd argue against me, this and that. And one day he says, you know, he said, I thought about everything you've said. And he says, I would rather be in hell with all my friends than, you know, get into church and religion and all that. Man, I looked him, man, right in the eyes, and I says, you know what? I said, you're not going to be in hell with all your friends sitting around a campfire roasting weenies. You know, his eyes got kind of big. I says, you're going to be the weenie that's getting roasted. Yeah. Well, he didn't take a swing at me, you know. He just kind of smiled and walked away. Hey, what do you think hell is? You think you can be sitting around there, you know, having a weenie roast with your friends and all your relatives? Oh, it's going to be your ultimate worst nightmare. That I can't even think about hell because I've seen little things and read things about it. It's so terrible, I can't even allow my thoughts to think about it because it's beyond anything that you can. It's so bad. You understand what I'm saying? Don't think you're going to go to hell and sit around. It says children will curse their parents to their face in hell because they did not take them to church. They did not train them up in the ways of the Lord. It's not like you're going to be with all your kids in hell and have a little love in. Their kids are going to curse them to their faces and hate them. That's what the Bible says. Children will curse their parents to their faces in hell because, you know, here we are. You didn't train me up in the ways of the Lord. You didn't teach me about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? As a parent, you got a huge responsibility. And I keep going off on these rabbit trails, but that's the way the Lord's leaving me here. Amen. And it says, verse 6, and the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved at heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy, blot out, and wipe away mankind, whom I have created from the face of the ground. Not only man, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air. For it grieves me and makes me regretful that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So, and then it goes on, the history of, in the generation of Noah. Noah was a just and a righteous man, blameless in his evil generation. But you see, what the point I'm trying to make is, everybody else can go bad and get into sin. But if you will stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved in the end. Amen? That's what you need to know. You don't go with the flow. Amen? You don't go with the flow because the vast majority of people are rushing. They're out of their minds. They're drunk, so to speak, racing for hell, and they don't know it. They don't know it. And it's kind of our job to shout. It's like you want to jump out with a road flare, man, and wave it and have a sign that says, stop, stop, because the bridge is out, you know? And they just throw a beer bottle out of the window as they come flying past you, you know, screaming and yelling, right? They don't care. They don't want it. But you know, man, you know all about it. You know, boy, where it's coming to, and it's going to be the great and terrible day of the Lord, man, when the judgment happens. It's going to be bad. Amen? And I mean, I'm not God, but that's what the Bible says, and that's what God's going to do. Amen? So, you know, but you know, all this is going to happen. You know, God walked with, he was a righteous man. God, God considered righteous Noah to be righteous and blameless among the people of his time. Amen? He trusted God. He had faith in God. He was obeying God and living the way he believed God wanted him to, as far as he knew, right? So he trusted, he obeyed, and he walked with God. And so he had a totally different outcome than the rest of the world, didn't he? They all died, I guess, in terror. As the flood swept in, they all died in terror. Noah, he was safe inside his boat. I'll bet you he was afraid. I would have been. I mean, you trust God, but come on, man. It ain't never really rained like that before. There ain't never been a flood before. You're inside that thing, and that storm is cut loose, and water's coming down like crazy. Tell me you wouldn't be a little bit afraid, huh? The fear of God on you, man, is like, you know, and all those animals in there. I know you got to be. This is crazy. Nothing like this has ever happened on earth again. Tell me you wouldn't be a little bit afraid, huh? Not probably more than a little bit. But you know what? I mean, we're human. We don't know all the things God knows. He's the loving Father. He's got the whole thing in his hands, right? You're secure in the hands of the Lord, but we are humans. We're fragile beings, right? And this is a huge thing that's taking place. Yeah, we're going to be a little bit afraid, right? You do trust God and you fear God and, you know, you're walking with him. But come on, with all that rain and probably thunder and giant waves and, man, you know. But God delivered him in the end. He set that boat down on dry land. Yeah? Amen? So, all the others died, but Noah was trusting and obeying God. Does it have? Let me ask you this: is there any benefits to trusting and obeying God? Amen. You know, that's all that stuff in the Old Testament is types and shadows of what's going to happen here, folks. It's all types and shadows. Jesus is our ark, so to speak. You understand? It's all coming down, man. The earth is coming in. This is the end days. Everybody that knows anything about the Bible, all the scholars, everything, all the signs point to the end of the ages. Okay. And Jesus is our ark. He's our ark. He's our safety. We've got to hold fast. Amen. We've got to hold fast and put our faith and trust in him. Get out of the world system. Okay. I understand you got to go to work, have a job, buy food, but don't put your faith and your trust in the world to meet all your needs and provide for you, okay? It's you're putting your faith and trust in God, amen? He's the one that you're putting your faith and trust with. I've been reading this book here lately, and it really brought out something that I didn't see before, but you know, when God called Abraham to go, he called him out of Babylon. He was living in Babylon, man. Babylon is basically the world system that we're living in now. That system is the one that took, it goes way back to like Nimrod and stuff, but it took people from trusting God that age when they lived and trusted God at all. It took them into trusting, it took them away from God into trusting all the things that the great King Nimrod and all the world could provide. Okay? You know, in the Revelation, it talked about Mystery Babylon and all these different things. Well, Abraham, when God called him out to go, you know, and he did by faith, he was living in Babylon. See, he called him out of Babylon. And in the same sense, he's calling us out of Babylon. You can't just be dependent on the world and for everything and trusting in the world system and the government and all of our checks and everything else, right? That's Babylon, man. You got to trust in God, you see. No matter what happens, God's going to make a way. He's going to provide for me. He's going to get me through. My faith and trust is going to be in God, not in the world system, which we could say is Babylon. Okay? And everybody is getting hooked into it. And it's going to be a lot worse, man, that through the technology and everything, you're going to lock everybody up here coming down the road in a few years. They're going to control you. They're going to control everything. One book I read said through all this technology and everything, hardly anybody knows what's happening. And it's just like this thing is like a trap that's going to snap shut, and you'll be caught into it before you even know what's going on. The whole idea is to be controlled. They want to control you, everything. One world system, you know, the Antichrist and everything, they want to control everything, know everything you do, go, whatever. Control everything. It's just going to lock the whole thing up, and the trap will snap shut before you ever knew what hit you. You know, put your faith and trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Not Babylon or not the world system. You know, Noah had a totally different outcome. Man, how could it be that late already? Oh, this is going to be a multi Sunday sermon, right? Is it good though?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen any tomatoes come flying past me yet. When we read that about Noah and his time, I'm going to finish with this. When I read about Noah and how wicked and how everything was, it makes me think of the world today.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? It makes me think of the world today. It has gone insane. The wickedness, the darkness has really been just unleashed, man. It has just flat been unleashed. And Jesus said, just as in the days of Noah. You understand what I'm saying? This whole thing that took place in the Old Testament is going to happen again today. It was a type and a shadow. What's going to happen is just in the days of Noah. Okay? And Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Luke 21:36 that we pray on Wednesday nights a lot. Watch and pray. Folks, it's, I don't want to scare nobody, but I'm just saying, this is the time we live in. We had no choice. We're born, we're here. And it's what we do now, you know. And I know the pressure of the world is on to go with the world, because it's all this glitter and all these things you like to do, your flesh likes to do, right? It's all there. It's so easy to just slide into it and not trust God, not to make Him the priority in your life. Amen? It's so easy to do, but it's only the Lord that can save us. Amen? He's our ark. Jesus. Amen? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. Amen? So, we're going to stop there. It just gets better after this. Amen? Next Sunday, will you be better? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise God. God is still the great God that does miracles, heals, delivers, sets free, saves. Amen? And so, you know, I don't want anybody leaving today that needs prayer or needs some touch from God. Amen? So.